Blog Talk Radio.
I hope.
We're in prison. Well, goddamn, man. Welcome to the real world. Not a minute too soon, I might add.
But I'm telling you, these walls are funny. First you hate them.
Oh, wow.
And you get used to them. Enough time passes. You get so you depend on them.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Well, I'll be darned. Welcome. Come on in. I'm shocked. I hope you are too. Before the night is over, we've got great radio for you. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Binkley from The Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And
here along with
no
one else.
They're stuck with us. Us here tonight. Again,
but that's the moment. You never know who's going to call in here.
You never know who is or who isn't going to call in. Of course, last night, Blog Talk was not our friend, and we did an entire 2-hour show with no audio and no recording. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. We'll talk about that again. Yeah.
Let's talk about it now. Foxbane said last night in the Lost Show, it truly is. There are only 4 people on Earth who knew what happened last night. Okay? It was, of course, us 3, Gar the Ghoul from Portable Horror starring Gar the Ghoul. Foxbane was in the chat, but myself, Dave, and Professor Feather called in, and he wanted to hear our show so much.
Yeah.
He listened on his phone. In the waiting room, and then talked with us, of course, between segments. So it looks like things are running normal. Foxbane seems to be hearing us live right now. So Blog Talk, if you fix things, it's about damn time.
Yes.
I mean,
is a way. Whenever something like that happens, folks, you can call in, and you will be able to hear it right over your telephone or your smartphone or your headset or however you call in, that kind of a thing. Fogsman called in for 2 minutes last night and got Muzak for 2 minutes and gave up. We did not see you there. Actually, it didn't connect. You know, Fogs, there was so much wrong going on yesterday last night on Blog Talk. I would just have my fingers crossed hoping that it would record in. Unfortunately, it did not. So we may have.
I'm almost glad I was not at my finest.
But we may have some news on that a little bit later in the program today. But we have got a good one. We got 2 shows. We snuck another show in, a 15-minute show, to go with the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Unexpected, as we're still trying to break out of this prison. You know, we were more trapped last night than the first marriage. That's what we were.
Yeah, we were sort of in radio prison last night. And we burst free. It's been a jailbreak, and we might have a special surprise for you, since everyone got cheated out of last night's show.
Yes, except for us, we didn't get cheated, but everyone else did.
Yeah,
does that count when we don't get cheated? I don't know.
I don't know, but things happen for a reason. Hey, and the reason you're here, hopefully, is to get some awesome radio. Some awesome radio, and this one's called Escape from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, and I tell you what, this comes to us from the pen or computer of Bob Juren, who was he was just a copy guy for CBS, the CBS Radio Network, I think. He wasn't a story writer. Hyman Brown encouraged him to write a story. He ended up writing about a dozen of them, and he turned into being one of my favorite writers. Whenever his name pops up on there in the credits of writing, this is one. You know, Dale, I always kind of go through the different people of or the different comments from people from the from one of the websites on the Radio Mystery Theater, and read over their individual comments of each episode. And half the time I come by where people were saying this and that or whatever, you know, and it was, hey, it's one of my favorites, or, oh, well, yeah, what a cheap waste of my 45 minutes or whatever. This is one everybody absolutely loves, calls a classic, and the only thing I'll tell you, it has a surprise ending. Outside of, I'm not going to be a spoiler, believe me, I'm not, but it is, you know, when it all starts off with a jailbreak, the way it ends up is not what you're going to expect, my friends. That much I will tell you.
So they don't tunnel into underneath the prison and into like a bank
no,
bank vault.
No.
All right, and hit each other with hammers and okay.
Right. Or like they tunnel out and end up in the warden's office. No, nothing like that. You know.
Or coming out of a tree stump in Germany. You never know.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about that last night, talking about from our opening from the Hogan's Heroes. And I think we spent a little bit of time talking about Hogan's Heroes and MASH as two great of the war comedies / dramas type things. Because, you know, one thing we didn't talk about, if you ever listen to some of the bits, you know, where they don't throw in the laugh track with that, it is very dramatic music. And actually, there's some dramatic acting going on there. Outside of Colonel Klink stuff, and even some of his is a little dramatic. If you take away that laugh track, this is almost a drama. So think of it sometimes without when you're watching. I know that MeTV shows an hour in this area every night at 10 o'clock. If you live in Central Zone, it'd be 9 o'clock. Try and kick out the laugh track in your mind when you do that, because when you do, you say, wow, this could have been a serious show.
Yep, certainly could have. And, you know, I'm kind of a little ashamed of myself last night while we were waxing about Hogan's Heroes. Is my dear friend Jimmy, you know, borrowed that
Jimmy
name. His last name was Klink.
Yes,
and, of course,
did.
He was known
as
the Colonel by all in Cleveland and Lorraine areas, because he was like a super fan when it came to horror hosts and monster movies and stuff like that.
But everybody seemed to know who he was, so that was not, you know, he was here. He was from Northeast Ohio. He was here in Northeast Ohio, but any horror host within the Midwest, let's say, knew who Jim Klink was.
Absolutely, and all the female horror hosts, because he was a fan of all of them. And he was an interesting guy. Interesting guy.
And it went back to the fact that even when I heard, you know, I played one clip of Superhost, where Superhost was showing off one of the pictures that he sent to Superhost. You know, this guy had a lifelong love affair with horror hosts.
Yes, he has. And he about blew up when he realized how many were on the internet. That really made it for him. Seriously, he loved and ate that. There was no such thing as a bad horror host to him. There was no such thing as a bad horror host.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know as many people as we do, but okay. Sorry.
No, that's
sorry.
Okay. Prump. No. No, it's precious to me that he felt that way. Truly a neat guy. I'll bet if he had gotten into radio, he'd be enjoying shows like we got for you tonight. We'll save the bonus for later. Okay, Dave?
Yes. You got it.
And we'll get started with CBS Radio.
I'm just overjoyed we're here tonight and that everybody can hear us. And it's recording. Everything looks as it should be.
And my microphone works yet.
It's a good night tonight, folks.
They finally fed the hamster. So here we go. From
June 24th, 1974.
And now, Mystery Theater, brought to you in part by True Value Hardware, your store of first choice.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the Sound of Suspense, to the theater of the mind, where on the unlimited stage of your imagination, we'll play out a drama of terror. Terror for three people who might be called babes in the wood. It's a frightening thing to lose your way, and even more terrifying if you're lost in an unfamiliar forest with nothing to give you a sense of direction. And that's where we find two escaped convicts, Hank Farley and Will Chase, fugitives from an army stockade, together with Hank's wife, Dolly, who tried to help them escape. But being lost is only a part of their problem.
Well, whatever it was, it's gone.
But it's still out there, somewhere. What are we going to do?
I think we ought to stay here.
Till we starve? We've got to keep moving.
But Hank's leg...
Okay, look, I figure it's about early afternoon. Let's wait till the heat of the day passes. Give Hank's leg a rest and then go on when it's cooler.
But if we can't find our way out before dark...
Then we spend another night in these woods.
With that? That thing out there?
That and God knows what else.
Our mystery drama, Escape, Escape, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Bob Juran and stars Terry Keane and Robert Dryden.
It's the KSL, Salt Lake City.
Welcome to a rainy August night in Louisiana. The lights of an army camp shine dimly through the sheet of water that falls from the coal black sky. Little rivers run in gullies across the deserted, muddy compound of the stockade. All is quiet except for the rain. And then...
Get down! Get down!
They'll see us! We'll never make the fence!
Shut up and do what I tell you!
Let's go back!
That'll really be the end of us. We killed one guard already. No, we're going to go down trying. This rain's on our side. The searchlights don't shine as far.
But we've got to get across that whole compound.
The next time the lights sweep past, we follow. Just behind. Now, get ready.
We won't be able to find the hole in the fence in this rain.
We'll worry about that when we get to the fence. Now, hold on. Here comes the light now. Stay just behind it. Ready?
Go!
We gotta beat that next swing of the light.
How much farther?
Can't tell in this rain.
The light's coming this way again.
Faster! Here's the fence.
Hank, the light!
I got more shots left. Now, keep your fingers crossed. Ha-ha! Bullseye! I hit the light. Come on.
The longest fence.
Yeah.
Charlie said the hole would be right next to the fourth post.
Yeah. Damn rain. It's helped and it hasn't.
Here's the hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right, you go first. Hurry.
I made it. Watch your right side. There's a barb.
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, my hip. I told you to watch it.
That hurts. Can you walk?
Yeah, of course I can walk.
Not that bad.
All right, come on. Oh, I sure hope Dolly's there with the car.
She'll be there. She better be.
Yeah. Oh, we don't know the woods or the roads around here. Hank, are you sure you know which way to go?
No, no, I'm not sure. What am I, a miracle man?
I'm as scared as you are.
But we gotta keep going.
Charlie said head straight away from the fence for a mile and a half to the road.
The trees block a lot of the rain.
Yeah. We'll get there.
There's a clearing. It must be the road.
Yeah. That looks like a car, Hank.
Huh?
It's too dark to be sure.
Keep moving.
It is a car, Hank. It's Dolly. She found the spot okay.
Yeah. It's a convertible. I told you Dolly wouldn't let us down.
Oh. Hank, you made it.
Oh, bless you, Dolly, for being here. Okay, well, get in the back.
Oh, thank God you made it, Hank. Oh, I have missed you so.
Time for that later, doll. All right, come on, get going.
Oh, hey, man, you sure are a mess.
Yeah, we had to crawl through the mud.
Yeah. Hey, where are we heading?
Well, first to Masonville. We pick up the interstate there. I had a heck of a time finding my way in here. The rain didn't help either.
It helped us back to stockade. Ah!
What's the matter?
Oh, I ripped myself crawling through the fence.
Is it bad?
I don't know. I don't think so. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Well, maybe we should stop in Masonville, huh?
Are you crazy? Oh, you'll be all right. We don't dare stop.
He's right. We'll keep going.
What's the matter?
I just went past the road I'm supposed to take.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I turned right at the white sign coming in. So I'm supposed to turn left, going out.
Well, I can't argue with you.
1 mile on this road, and then right at the cemetery.
Now what?
I know this was the road, but we should have come to the cemetery a long time ago.
We probably missed it in the rain. Maybe we should go back.
Yeah, we'll have to. That cemetery's my only guidepost. We're on dirt now. The road's coming in here all paved.
Maybe we ought to stop and wait till daylight.
Hey, there's a light up ahead. Let's ask.
What are you, a dummy? What do you think we are, tourists? They've had an alert out for us for an hour.
Well, look, maybe I should ask. You two stay in the car.
No. Wait a minute. It might not be so bad. It's isolated out here. Maybe they haven't heard about it. And even if they have, it doesn't make any difference.
What are you talking about?
We're going to spend the night in that house.
What?
No use wandering around getting lost in the rain. We're all going in and help ourselves to their hospitality.
What do you want?
Our car broke down. Can we use your phone?
Oh, what happened to you?
Haven't you ever seen mud before?
Well, come on in.
This is very kind of you, Mrs.
Call me Granny Good. That's how I'm called.
We're on our way to Masonville, Granny. Can we call a service station?
Oh, well, here's the phone. I don't know if Amos had come out this late.
Oh, we don't mind waiting. I'll just...
Oh, my phone! What did you do that for?
You just got some unexpected overnight company, and we don't want to be disturbed.
Oh, you've got some...
Shut up! You got a radio?
Of course I got a radio. Oh, now I know what you want.
Shut up!
You're the prisoners that escaped from the army camp.
Didn't take them long to announce it.
They said you killed a guard.
Hank! You didn't.
We had to.
Oh, murderers. Get out of my house. Get out.
You just shut up, old lady.
You murderers, you'll not stay in my house.
Hank, an old woman.
You'll be sorry for that, murderer.
Shut up, I said. Get us some food.
You'll be sorry.
Hank, why are you acting like this?
Leave me alone.
He's on edge, Dolly. We all are. Past couple of hours haven't been any picnic. You know?
What is it?
Your hip again?
Yeah, I...
Here, sit down.
Okay.
Look, could we have some warm water and bandages? My husband's been hurt.
You expect me to nurse him?
No, I just asked...
For a murderer. Let him suffer.
Get the bandages.
Hank.
Oh. All right, I'll get you some water. But don't think you scared me into it.
Come on, Hank. Now, relax.
Okay.
Coming here was your idea, Hank.
We got no other choice. We'll stay till daylight and then get moving.
Yes. Water and a bandage. And don't ask anything more.
How about some food?
I don't have any food.
Yeah? What's in that pot on the fire?
Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. You want some, sonny boy?
Don't get funny with me.
Hey, look.
old lady. We're going to stay here till morning, so just get used to the idea, huh? Will, look around.
Yeah.
See if there's anything we can use and find some food no matter what she says.
Hank, sit still. I'll fix your leg.
Now, just a minute.
Granny.
The gun again. Why? Why do you want to frighten me, barge in and treat me like this? I know you're escaped murderers. Why don't you just go and leave me alone?
Hey, Will, did you find anything?
Nothing much. There's a storeroom back here full of empty bottles, every size and shape.
Oh, so Granny likes to put up her own, huh? Where are the full bottles, Granny?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where's your booze? I could use a drink right now.
There's no liquor here.
Find it, Will.
Right.
No, don't open that cabinet.
Open it, Will.
No, please.
It's locked.
Open it.
Oh, please, don't. Get away from there.
Hey. Look at that.
Money.
It's mine.
Stacks and stacks of money just laying there.
Wow, that is something we can use.
No. Don't you dare touch that.
There's no hurry. We'll pack it up when we're ready to leave. All right, come on, Will. Wash up and Dolly will find us something to drink and eat.
You want some more salad?
No,
thanks, me neither.
Hey, wasn't a bad meal.
Yeah, better than that garbage at the Army prison, eh, Hank?
I knew that old hag would soften up. Look at her, snoozing over there by the fire with her cauldrons and her cats. All she needs is a black pointed hat.
Yeah, you know, I could use some sleep myself.
They'll take turns. Yeah. There's nothing that old hag can do, but we better not take chances. She might run for help.
Yeah, still pouring rain, though.
That wouldn't stop her. She knows a way around here.
Well, look, I'll stay up. I'm too nervous to sleep anyway. I don't like the way that one cat keeps staring at us.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's bugging me, too.
What are you two trying to do? Spook us all?
I'll just be glad when we're out of here. Hank, why don't we leave now? Granny will tell us how to get to the main road into Masonville just to get rid of us.
No way. She could get us really lost or direct us right back to the Army base. Now, we'll wait for daylight.
She's waking up.
So what? I'm going to sleep.
You're all still here.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be gone by now. I told Rimba to send you away.
Who's Rimba?
My best friend. Aren't you, Rimba?
Yeah. Well, maybe he didn't get the message.
It's that cat that's been staring at us.
Send them away, Rimba. You have the power. Send them away.
Hank, I'm frightened.
Keep that cat away from us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rimba. We've been hospitable long enough. Send them away.
If that cat comes any closer, I...
Hey!
Rimba! You've killed Rimba!
That cat was mad. It was a tough.
You killed Rimba. Now you'll pay. Murderers! You hit me, you steal my money, eat my food. You kill my cat, or you'll pay with your lives. You have no more chances left.
Hank, I'm scared to death.
She's going crazy. She's throwing things on the fire.
Oh, what can she do? That cat was gonna...
Fire first, and then the ash. Golden powder from the sash. Powder mixed with basil green. Mandrake root and things unseen. Now a grain into the fire to test fulfillment of desire.
It blew up.
What's going on, Hank?
I don't know. She's putting on some show.
Look, I don't like it. We've got to get out of here.
Killers of my faithful friend. On thee, the hate of hell descend. Now, once again, into the fire. Complete fulfillment of desire.
No!
Oh,
can't see anything.
Where's the door? Hey, Dolly, where are you?
I'm suffocating.
Hey,
I'm over
Dolly.
Here. Hey, hey.
Where are you? Dolly.
Well, that's one way of getting rid of unexpected and unwanted company. Smoke them out. And Granny is certainly within her rights when nothing but brutal treatment rewarded her hospitality. We'll see how our notorious trio makes out when I return shortly with Act Two.
Hoo-hoo, what a great comeback. And I'm sorry, I can't feel sorry for these people. You hurt a cat, you get what you get.
That's right. And they were jerks from the... almost from the second they stepped in the doorway. You know, it just unbelievable. And, of course, the wife didn't even know they killed a guard on the way out. So, and, boy, that curse she was giving them, I felt like I was back in my first marriage, I tell you.
That's not funny. That's kind of sad. But, yes, sir.
Hey, you know, this is an amazing cast we have here. Just think of this. Terry Keane was in 137 episodes of the Mystery Theater. Bob Dryden, 304. Bryna Rayburn, who was the witch in this one, 216. And Robert Caliban was in 97. Think of all the radio programs that barely made it to 97, let alone 137, 216, or 304 episodes. I'm often wondering, when Hyman Brown started this off with his dream of doing a nightly drama on a network radio in the 1970s, that it would last for 9 years and almost 1,400 broadcasts. I don't think he had any idea that would possibly happen, because he was only doing this for the people that loved old radio broadcasts. He had no idea the young people like myself and like Gar, who would get pulled in into these stories and look forward to them every night. It wasn't long ago when I would talk about this. Okay, it was long ago. But people said, you know what, I used to listen to the show late at night. I don't even know what it was called, but it would always scare the bejesus out of me. And it did have that effect, that people tuned into it, even though they knew where it was and when it was supposed to be on. But outside of that, they didn't really know much about it. They just know they enjoyed radio drama that hadn't been heard in its likes for, at that point, really as network really went, probably 12 years when the suspense and Johnny Dollar went off the air.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a thrilling tale here. Yeah, it does take a left turn here with someone who seems to be a witch that they've broken into the house.
Yeah, and Bob Juren, again, he's the writer of this, and he's written some other ones that I will be sharing here in the future. We will be sharing here in the future. Just this story, just like most of his others, knocked your socks off.
Amazing. Yeah, we're going to talk more about Bob Juren. Did he do some writing for film as well as radio?
No, and up to this point of the Radio Mystery Theater, he had never written, as far as I know, anything ever for anything other than copy or whatever he was doing for the CBS network.
Huh, because you always told me that you liked his stuff. You always knew you were in for a treat with a Bob Juren tale.
And that you are, what's it on here? I can tell you real quickly. Because he did, I'm thinking here, it says he appeared in 30, I think he might have written possibly 30 stories, and maybe, it said he appeared in, but it could be, you know, and some of these guys that are writers also, I think, appeared in some of the episodes as well, as, you know, background noises, that kind of a thing. What a thrill, I think it would be, that he didn't get on it. Our friend from New York finally ended up down in Florida. I don't know why. I can't remember his name at the second. We had him on the show. Joe Bev, always disappointed he never got to be on the Radio Mystery Theater. But when you look at the experience that, of the actors and the Broadway actors that he could bring in, there's I'm sure Joe Bev would have held his own against these guys, but Hyman Brown knew what he was getting, and most of these guys were from. I know Brian Rayburn goes back to the 50s. Of course, Robert Dryden goes back to, I think, back to the 40s when he was on radio. Just so many of the actors on here are the Mandel Kramers and the Norman Roses and all these people that were on the Mystery Theater. This was a tribute when he started this. This is a tribute to old radio for the old radio people who listened to it back then. And he used as many as he could, even starting off with the very first episode with his personal friend, Agnes Moorhead. She was in a total of two, but he had her episode be the very first episode he aired of the Mystery Theater.
And there you have it. And we should probably move along here to part two of our tale, which has taken a neat twist here after just part one. Here's part two of three of Escape, Escape.
The Evening Team on 1160 KSL, Information Radio.
We return now to the rather bizarre scene at the cottage of old Granny Good. After being terrorized by her very rude and ungrateful guests, she struck back by filling the cottage with smoke from a powder she threw into the fire. And at this moment, her unexpected company is making a hasty retreat.
Oh, hey! Hank, I'm over here!
I see you! I can just make you out!
We found the door! Hurry up! The smoke's getting worse!
Okay! Okay! Let's go!
Oh, I can breathe.
Hi, keep running. Get to the car.
Hey. The rain stopped.
Oh. But it's so dark. I can't see either of you.
Oh, that's the way it is in these woods at night.
The car ought to be right over here. We parked close to the cottage.
Oh, I can't. I can't see it.
Look. We can't see the lights in the cottage anymore.
Did we run that far?
No, it didn't seem like it. Let's double back.
Hank, please, do you know which way we're going?
Yeah, back the way we came. We gotta get to the car.
But Hank,
what happened?
I walked into a tree. I can't see a darn thing.
You got any matches?
No, have you?
No. Well, come on, we'll feel our way.
Yeah. We can walk around in circles in this dark. Oh, we gotta wait for morning.
That old woman's probably on her way to the police right now.
How?
On her broom? She couldn't get anywhere tonight. Will's right. We'll bed down here and wait till daylight.
Bed down? On this wet ground?
Okay. Let's relax. We can't walk around in circles. We'll have to make out as best we can right here.
Yeah.
It's not cold. Rain stopped. We'll just have to stay here till daylight. Then we'll see the cottage and get out of here.
Hank? You awake?
Yeah.
It's getting light.
Oh, yeah. You better get moving.
Dolly?
You all right, honey?
Oh, I'm so stiff.
You'll feel better once we get going.
Hey, Dolly, look.
What?
Where's the cottage?
It's gone.
Well, we couldn't have wandered that far away from it.
Well, we did. We thought we were heading back for it in the dark. Instead, we were walking away from it.
What direction should we go?
Well, if we keep moving, we gotta come to a road sometime. Maybe the dirt road we came in on.
Hey, look, look. That looks like a path up ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the undergrowth isn't as thick up there. Well, a path's got to lead somewhere.
What do? We go right or left, huh?
Left. It seems to go up.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if we get to higher ground, we'll see the cottage.
Okay, we go left.
Yeah.
Hank, suppose we can't find our way out of here. We don't have any water, any food.
Don't think like that, Dolly. We'll get out of here. We couldn't have come all that far from the cottage last night. We stopped walking after a few minutes. The cottage and that dirt road have to be close.
Yeah.
But we may still be walking away from them. Oh, Hank. Hank, please, I gotta rest.
Yeah, okay. We'll stop for a while.
Oh.
My leg's bothering me, too.
I'm dying of thirst.
We all are.
It's so blasted hot, too, and still.
Hank?
Huh?
Do you notice something?
Like what?
There's no sound.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, not a rustle. No birds.
Come to think of it, I haven't seen any animals either, like a squirrel or chipmunk or anything. It's unnatural.
Ah, it's the heat.
I just wish we could find some water.
Well, look, you two stay here. Maybe I can scout around.
No. No, we gotta stick together.
Well, sitting here isn't gonna find us any water.
Relax, will you? Dolly's tired.
Well, so am I. But unless we keep going...
We'll go when Dolly's rested.
All right, stop it. I'm okay. Will's right. We ought to keep going. Hey, look. Look at that tree over there.
Where?
To the left. No branches, just flowers at the top. If I wasn't so miserable, they would be almost beautiful.
It's probably a vine, like the bougainvilleas in California. When I was in L.A. one time... Hey, up ahead! It's a clearing!
Oh, thank God!
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can get our bearings if we get out of this undergrowth.
Hey, come on!
Yeah, maybe there's a pond or a stream or something.
Look at...
Wow. Look at the size of that rock.
That's bigger than a house.
And white. It's like a whole hill collapsed into a pile of white boulders.
Look, I'm gonna try and scale this one. Maybe I can get a clue about where we are.
Be careful.
It's not too bad. I can get a footing.
Looks like about 30 feet up.
It's a solid rock. Not a branch or a blade of grass.
See anything?
Not yet. I'm going higher.
Take it easy.
Wow. What a sight.
What is it?
Hundreds of these things. It's like a desert of white boulders. Far as you can see.
A dead end?
There's some funny looking trees in the distance and... Hey, yeah! It looks like a road.
A road? How far?
It's hard to judge from here, but maybe 2 miles. We'll have to cross over these rocks.
Are you sure it's a road?
Wait a second. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh.
It is. It's a paved road running straight along the line of trees.
Good. Okay, come on down.
Oh, Hank, we're finally getting out of
here. Yeah, but let's not waste any time. How much farther?
We're almost to the road. You can see the line of trees.
This leg's killing me. You know, I think it's infected.
I've got to have some water.
It's not far now. We're coming out of the rocks now.
Okay, where's the road?
I don't know. It was along here. I saw it.
Nothing. Nothing but more jungle.
We're back in the woods.
I know there was a road.
You thought you saw a road, you damn idiot.
Look,
that was a mirage. We come all this way for a mirage.
Well, how was I to know?
Oh, God, we're lost. We're lost, Jack. We're lost.
Shut up, Dolly.
We're going to die here. I know it. We're never going to find
out. Stop it, will you? Okay. All right, we all got to rest. The heat's getting to us. And I can't go another step on this leg without some rest.
Oh, well, that's just great. What are we going to have to do, carry you?
You're going to have to carry me if I don't get some water.
Now, look, we've been pushing for hours. Let's try to calm down. All right, we're lost, but... Shh. What?
What?
Listen.
What is this?
What would someone be doing making a sound like that? Whoever it is probably won't know about us. We can ask him how to get out of here. He's got to know how he got in. Sounds like he's clearing brush.
He's coming closer. What is that?
Oh, my God!
That looks like an ant! A giant ant!
Oh, Hank! It's as big as I am.
All right, get back under these rocks. It hasn't seen us.
I'm going to be sick. Oh, hey.
Down and quiet. Oh, my leg is hanging. It can't be an ant.
Well, you saw it.
But I don't believe it. What's it doing now?
Hey, it looks like it's eating a plant.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Pray it doesn't try to eat us.
It's
gone. Stop it! Stop it! I can't stand it!
Hey, you shut up!
I think it's seen us.
I heard it.
Yeah, it's waving those things on its head.
It's trying to find out where we are.
Don't anybody move a muscle. It'll stop moving.
We're just dreaming this. There can't be ants that big.
I think it spotted us.
I can't look.
It's moving this way. It's moving.
We can't fight it.
We gotta get back under those boulders. They form a natural cave back there.
Yeah, well, I can't make it fast on this leg.
You've got to. Take his arm, Dolly.
Oh. I can't move.
Okay. I'll make it on my own.
I can't move.
Hey, Will, help her. I'll drag myself.
In the sandy!
No! No! I can't stand it! I can't stand it!
Give me a fast! Give me your hand, Hank!
All right! I'm not gonna make it!
Save Dolly!
You make it!
I'll get you in here! Dolly's all right!
If a thing that big stings you, you're dead!
It can't reach us in here.
Oh, we're okay now.
Oh, it can't be real. That can't be real.
Oh, that was straight out of a nightmare. I got chills all over.
I can't stop shaking.
It's so hideous, Hank.
Has it gone?
No.
It might be trying to find another way in.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, gosh, that's an ugly thing. Oh, it's moving away. Back into the woods.
Oh, thank heaven.
How could an ant get to be that size? I mean, this isn't Mars. It's Louisiana.
What do you... Hey,
maybe it's mechanical. What? What do you mean, mechanical?
Well, some kind of vehicle the Army's been testing. Remote controlled, maybe. Oh, we've been walking in this heat for hours. No sleep, no food, no water. We could be imagining anything.
It tried to attack us. I was no vehicle.
Well, then how do you explain an ant as big as a lion?
I don't know.
Well, whatever it was, it's gone.
But it's still out there. Somewhere.
What else, indeed? Could there really be an ant as big as a lion? There are such things as mutations, we're told. I'd certainly hate to have one of them show up at one of my picnics. But if that's any indication of what lies ahead in this strange Louisiana wood, it won't be any picnic for Hank, Will, and Dolly when we return shortly with Act 3.
And that picnic better not include giant ants.
Make me a size of jackfruit!
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, I knew
you knew that. Yeah. If you mention giant ants, I'm going to lose my mind.
Hey, I looked up a little bit on Bob Juren that I could. He wrote, and it said appeared in 30 episodes, would have been his own episodes, of the Radio Mystery Theater. The reason I guess I couldn't find anything on him before, because technically outside of Mystery Theater, he went by Robert Jordan instead of Bob Jordan. And I think that one of the books attributed to him was The Boy from Dimension 5. He also wrote at least one suspense episode called Flesh Peddler, which we actually played here. It starred DeForest Kelly on suspense.
Sounds dirty.
Well, Flesh Peddler was back in the 50s. They were known as agents.
Ah.
They were that. So, yes, it sounds dirty, but it really wasn't. But
ah.
So he did do some more writing other than what the Mystery Theater, but it could be this, the 13th floor may have been his as well, but there's so little information on these particular books that I really can't tell.
Yeah.
But
I thought maybe there was some connection between him and Nathan Juren, who was a director of a lot of the early Ray Harryhausen films, but apparently there's no connection there. Just the last name, Juren,
yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And I looked a little bit about Brian Rayburn, who of course, had been in 216 of these Mystery Theaters, and again, was a throwback to the original old radio broadcast as well. Just looking over some of these amazing credits, going back to 1944. Now, these are, of course, I'm sure there's a lot of other appearances she made where she wasn't documented. Or, again, these are only shows that still survive, starting off with The Mysterious Traveler in 44. And she was in Words at War, Crime Club, Mysterious Traveler again, Eternal Light, quite a few of those. Actually, looks like about at least a dozen of those. Radio City Playhouse, The Henry Morgan Show on one episode. John Steele Adventurer, 2000 plus, a couple of those. Barry Craig Confidential Investigator, one of those. Crime and Peter Chambers, a couple of those. The CBS Radio Workshop, several suspenses, and about a little over two dozen Theater Fives, and of course the over 216 from the Mystery Theater. This is where she really got the chance to be. Well, again, it lasted for 9 years, and she was obviously one of Hyman Brown's favorites. In that one clip that they did from the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder, where they reenacted a portion of a Mystery Theater with Mason Adams and Jackson Beck and such, she was also right there with them. So it was, she must have been one of his favorites there. And many, many episodes. A lot of times she was every once in a while, a nice person, but usually she was like the angry mother-in-law or something like that. A real battle axe, most times it seems.
Oh,
every once in a while, No. I'm sure he's a very nice person. But just a little bit I got to dig up on Brian Rayburn during the last segment. And, yes, giant ants.
Giant ants. What?
They're looking
giant
for giant
ants?
Sandwiches.
Don't say giant ants out loud.
Giant ants.
Make me a size of jackfruit food.
As we go back to the conclusion now of this very strange story, Escape. Escape from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
KSL, Salt Lake City.
No escape goes unpursued. And at the moment, while Hank, Will, and Dolly are considering their predicament, their pursuers are hot on the trail. Let's return to Granny Good's cottage as a car bearing the word sheriff on its doors winds its way up the road and then suddenly stops.
Something wrong, Sheriff?
Yeah. That car by Granny Good's cottage. It's got out-of-state plates. Don't see many of them around here. Let's walk the rest of the way. Keep your gun handy.
Harley and Chase were on foot when they left the stockade.
Well, they could have been picked up by somebody.
Hi, Roy.
Hi, Granny. Everything all right here?
No, it ain't. I just got finished burying Rimba, my favorite cat.
Whose car?
That belongs to the fellas I think you're looking for.
They've been here.
They were here. They're gone now.
Without their car?
Oh, Granny, this here is Major Thomas from the Army base where those two fellas escaped from. He's investigating.
How do, Major?
Hello, Mr. Good. You say they were here and then left without their car, is that right?
Last night, a few hours after they came. And good riddance. They're nothing but murderers. They killed my cat, my Rimba. And they hit me, tried to steal my money.
Yeah, well, now, if they didn't take their car, where'd they go?
I don't know. It was pouring rain. They run out into the woods. There's a girl with them.
She drove the getaway car.
Well, she said she was the wife of one of them.
Yep, Hank Farley's wife. Chase wasn't married.
Oh, well, come on in out of the heat. I have lemonade ready.
All right, tell us what happened last night, Granny.
Well, Roy, they bust in here around 10 o'clock.
Oh, they traveled fast. First alarm went out at 9.
They were all covered with mud, but I'd heard it on the radio. I knew who they were. And they pulled the phone out of the wall.
But what made them leave? How'd they run into strange woods they didn't know?
Oh, it beats me. Oh, here's your lemonade, Major.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Roy?
Oh, thank you.
Major, I don't think you're ever going to find them. Those woods out there, one wrong step and you're lost forever.
I don't think we ought to wait any longer.
I'm not moving from here. Not while that thing is out there.
Dolly, it's gone.
Gone where? If we go into the woods again, it'll find us.
Well, we can't stay here forever. We got to keep trying. Oh. Well, we'll keep out of the woods for a while. Look down there. It's like a sandy path along the edge of the forest. Yeah. But let's follow that. Okay.
No.
Now, Dolly, we got to.
Hank, I'm afraid.
Once we get going, you'll feel better. It's sitting around here imagining things that's getting to us. Come on. Come on, I'll help you.
Guess I don't have any choice. Oh, I'm so thirsty.
How's that leg, Hank?
Oh, boy, it hurts like the devil. But I don't have any choice either.
Is anything out there?
No. Not a sound either.
Okay. Let's go. You know, seems to be getting lighter. Hey, we're coming to something.
What do you mean, coming to something?
Well, Another clearing, maybe. The sand strip's getting wider. Look, it's like a desert.
They have deserts in Louisiana?
Well, what do you call that? There's nothing but more sand up ahead.
Oh, it's better than jungle.
Well, what do you think? Should we go across?
We don't know what's on the other side.
Well, we don't know what's behind us either. I'm going to move up a bit. See if there's anything to give us a bearing. Sand's deeper here. You sink in over your ankles.
Will, be careful.
See anything?
Yeah.
Hey, what's the matter?
I don't know. It's as though something hit me, but there's nothing here.
Well, you all right?
Well, I will be when I find out what the... Wait, Hank, this is the damnedest thing.
What is it?
It's a force field of some kind.
What do you mean?
A force field?
Look, we're standing here. Now walk straight ahead. Slowly.
Okay.
Ah! It knocks you back.
Stay back, Dolly.
Don't worry.
Now I'm convinced of it. We're wandering around an army testing ground. This is another one of their experiments.
Is there a way around it?
Somewhere, probably. Yeah, but where?
You can actually reach out and touch it. It's like feeling your way along an invisible wall.
You know what this means? We're right back in prison again. Our only escape is into the waiting hands of Major Thomas.
We'll have to go back.
Go back? To where?
Well, hold up a second. Look off there to the left. Nothing but sky. I think the land drops away at the edge of the woods.
Well, let's find out. Maybe we can get a bearing, huh?
Oh, Hank, I'm so tired. I can't keep going.
Okay, honey, okay. Sit here for a few minutes. Will and I want to check out that cliff.
Hey, we're high, all right. Nothing but space out there.
Don't go so close to the edge.
Look down there, will you? Did you ever see anything like it?
No.
Strangest looking plants I've ever seen. It's not like the woods anymore.
Yeah, tall, spindly things and flowers. Don't make sense.
Look at this. Look at this thing. Over here.
Hang on!
Oh. I'm sliding!
What's happened?
I can't stop! Will's
going down the cliff!
What can we do?
There's no way to stop it! Wait a minute! He's grabbed hold of a plant! Hey, Will! Are you all right?
He can't hear you.
He seems okay. He's pulling himself up on the plant.
Hank! Look! Oh, my God! The plant's crushing him. It's closing around him.
Oh. It can't be!
Oh, Hank, do something! Do something! The plant is swallowing him! We're never going to get out of this place. I know that. We can't get out.
Dolly. Dolly, please, don't let go.
We're not in Louisiana. We're in hell. When I was a little girl, I used to have bad dreams about hell. My mama would say, Dolly, if you're not a good girl, the devil will get you. And you'll go to that place.
Stop it,
and I'd
Dolly.
Go to bed and I would
Stop.
Think about hell. And I'd dream about it. Oh, God. And now I'm here.
Oh, honey.
Oh, Mama. Can I have a drink of water, Mama? I promise I won't call again, Mama.
Oh, Lord. Dolly.
It's so dark. And I'm so thirsty. Mama, don't make me get out of bed. Oh, please. Water. hear water. There's water.
Dolly. Dolly, don't go out there.
There's water. It's dripping off that big leaf. Oh, it's water at last.
Dolly! Come back here! Dolly! Dolly! It's after the water, too. It's the air.
Help me! Help me!
I can't move! Dolly! Dolly! Dolly!
Well, thank you for the lemonade, Mrs. Good, and the information.
I'll have Fred and Tony up here in about 20 minutes.
Oh, whatever you think best.
And I'll get the phone company out to fix your phone before dark. You can't be without that.
Oh, I'd appreciate it, Roy.
All right, we'll be in touch, Granny.
Major, are you married?
Why, yes, I am.
Well, then I'd be most happy if you'd take this to your wife. A little token of my appreciation.
Why, it's very beautiful.
Well, it's a terrarium. I see you've been admiring it.
Granny's terrariums are famous around these parts, Major. Everybody buys them. My wife's got one with a plant that eats meat.
That's the Venus flytrap. There's one in this glass, too.
Well, thank you very much. My wife will really enjoy it.
My pleasure. Oh, something wrong, Major?
I thought I saw something moving in there.
Well, it might be an ant. Sometimes they're in the earth when I plant them. It does no harm.
Well, thank you again, Miss Good, and don't worry. We'll get those men.
Well... You never know. You might be closer than you think.
Well, after all, this is the age of miniaturization. And even witches have to keep up with the times. It appears that Granny Good reduced her problem to the smallest common denominator and arrived at a satisfactory solution. It also strikes me as a convenient way to lose weight or avoid a bill collector, unless, of course, one goes too far and finds himself reduced to nothing. I'll be back shortly. Hank, Will, and Dolly might well have heeded a popular saying before tampering with Granny Good. Never underestimate the power of a woman, particularly one with lots of cats and a cauldron bubbling over the fire. We'll be stirring up some more suspense and terror for you on our next Mystery Theater tale. So do join us again. Our cast included Terry Keane, Robert Dryden, Bob Caliban, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Giant ants. They're here, they're everywhere.
But they weren't giant. They were only giant to the size of the people.
I know.
Who were shrunk down into the terrarium size.
Well, there must be something we can learn from this. Like where the start button is. Eerie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
We is apologies to Gar. Never treat a witch badly, because turnabout is fair play, and witches don't play fair.
Ooh. That was going to do a flush. That one was good. I'm not doing a flush.
That was crazy, huh? Oh my. Wonderful tale from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Was it not?
It was.
I hope everybody enjoyed that, because it was
It was a surprise within a surprise, Dave. I mean, number one, I didn't expect a supernatural story with them running into the witch, but then with them being so small.
Yep, and all those big. So apparently they were Venus flytraps that were after the people there as well. So,
yep.
Got one of them.
Good.
So, yep.
And from 1974, great year for me. I mean, we had we still had the Ghoul on old Channel 61. I'm not sure if Super's Host had started yet by 74. I'm thinking he did.
I think he was on when I came in, yeah. Because I came to Northeast Ohio in 72, and I think he was on at least by, 74.
We can find that out. And very quickly, actually. According to Wikipedia, he started in 1969. So absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And he ran until 1993. Wow. And we just lost
nice
him
run.
This year. Just lost him
yes,
this year.
Yes, we did.
All
what
the Cleveland area horror hosts we lost.
And what a shame, because I had planned on him. Actually, the Mummy and the Monkey did a really pretty nice interview with him last November. We're talking about last November. And he was all there. And I was ready to write him into an episode of Spaceship One. Would have really been a super thrill to have him in there as well. And that all ended when he passed. But he was really sharp on all our questions. So.
And thank you, by the way, for capturing, well, we still have them, Big Chalk and Little John, getting them together along with Houlihan. I mean, all three for the first time in so many years. And,
yeah, 40 years. It was and Dale, growing up, I mean, Big Chuck was my idol. He really was. He still is, And to be able to work with him and write something for him and to kind of help direct him and John while we were filming that. And we filmed that part in Brunswick because it was just outside of Hinckley there for convenient for Chuck, not convenient for John. But it was one of the great thrills. Maybe it wasn't the most exciting episode that we have or will produce the shakes of Spaceship One, but I tell you what, it was for me just because I got to be there and work with, and you know for a fact that Chuck wrote almost everything that he ever did. This is one of the few things that he didn't write that he performed in. And an extra added thrill for me to have him there for that because of that. And we've talked to him since. Mike Mace has talked to him since. And Chuck was just so pleased with how it all came out in the end. Because they never know what's going to happen when somebody invites them to do something with them,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it came out very, very nice. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it'll return to the Vortex sometime soon. So you need to check that out. We do have a bonus show for you.
We do. On the CBS Radio Mystery Theater night, we have a tale from the unexpected. What's funny is you look on the internet to find out dates for it, and a lot of them are going to tell you 1957. And that's a bunch of hooey. This was actually from 1947. It was a syndicated series, first airing in 47, then heading to New York on ABC in 47, on Mutual in 48. They were 26 episodes that were distributed by Mayfair Transcription. Now, If that sounds a little familiar to you, we've shown, we played a few of their other programs. Another series that they released, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. So this is the same company that did this. So,
well, let's get rolling. Here's
We don't have an exact date for this because it was syndicated. And again, if you were in New York, it was 1948 for the first time. If you were on the West Coast, it was 1947.
And here it is, a story called Jailbreak.
From Hollywood, Steve Cochran in The Unexpected.
The Unexpected.
The Unexpected. Life is filled with the unexpected, romantic, tragic, and mysterious endings to our most ordinary actions. Dreams come true, or dreams are shattered by sudden twists of fate in The Unexpected. But first, a word from your announcer. Steve Cochran, outstanding radio and screen star in Jailbreak, a drama of the unexpected.
I tell you, it was an accident. You don't have to believe me, but that's the way it happened. Sure, I've thought about breaking out of prison. Thought about it plenty. So would you if you'd spent 7 years behind bars eating soggy stew 3 times a day, being shoved around by a bunch of dumb guards. Thinking was as far as I ever got. Westgate was escape-proof. That's right. You can look it up in the books. Or ask the warden. No one ever escaped from there. No one but me. I'd spent the afternoon at the prison dentist having low-grade gold stuffed into a cavity the size of a solitary cell. It was about 6 in the evening, and Tony the guard from cell block 7 was bringing me across the prison courtyard.
All right, Slick, get moving.
What's the rush?
I said get moving.
Watch who you're shoving.
Yeah?
You heard me.
Yeah, I heard you. The way it sounded to me, you were asking for a week in solitary.
Listen, you, if I ever get out of here, you better start worrying.
But you won't get out, will you, Slick? The warden's so easy on you guys, you won't even try to escape. Yeah, this job's getting monotonous.
That's what you'd like. A nice jailbreak, so you can shoot a few of us down like dogs.
Save the taxpayers' money. That's what we're here for.
Ah, shut up.
Oh, I hope the little woman has a nice dinner on the stove when I get home. Yes, Slick, you don't know what it means to walk out of this place at 6 p.m. and into a clean bungalow and some soft, loving arms. You married, Slick?
What the tell you, louse?
Hey! Listen, Con, watch your lip or I'll slap you right across the mouth. Get the idea?
Yeah, I get you.
I'll bet when you were on the outside, nobody could talk to you the way I've been talking, could they?
Yeah.
Nobody could push you around either, could they? You wouldn't take it. But here, you're shrunk down to size, and you don't even mind if I slap you. Do you, Slick?
I know what you want, Tony. You want me to fight back so you can really have fun. And I'm going to give you a surprise. I'm going to fight back. How do you like that? Oh. I swung a right up that came up from my foot and out my fist. Tony's eyes went glassy and his knees began to tilt out at an angle.
Why, you...
I tried to raise his club, but I was ahead of him. Another right even harder than the first. He went down like a deflated dirigible and his head cracked on the concrete. I bent over him and grabbed the .45 out of the holster. Turned to wait for the rest of them. I knew my life wasn't going to be worth much, but I was going to make him pay the highest price that traffic would bear. I waited, tense, fighting mad. But nothing happened. The courtyard was deserted. The guards in the tower were playing blackjack. No one had seen us. No one at all. Tony moaned a little, so I tapped him on the head with his own club. It was fine. The tables were turned, and I felt just like a guard. Then the idea hit me. I knew how to escape from Westgate. Tony was just about my size. We were alone. All I had to do was drag him into the shadow of the wall and switch clothes and walk out the gate. Just another guard checking off duty. It was impossible, but it might work. Tony was snoring quietly. My faded dungarees pulled over his flabby pink chest, and I walked up to the gate, swinging the club and whistling. I pulled his time card out of the rack and shoved it in the clock, marking down 10 minutes overtime. My heart was in my mouth as I signaled the gateman to let me out. I knew he might recognize me, might ask questions. Everything depended on that one moment. The gateman smiled and waved as he swung the ponderous iron door open. Then suddenly, he stopped. He looked at me from behind the bulletproof glass of his little compartment, and his eyes narrowed. I was ready to run for it. Then he lit a cigarette and turned his back on me. I walked slowly through the gate. For the first time in 7 years, I was a free man. There was no hurry. I just strolled toward Riverdale, as if I really were on my way to supper and a pair of loving arms. I'd gone nearly half a mile before I heard it. The escape siren. In a minute, they'd be after me, coming down the road with trucks and machine guns. There's no time to lose. I had to get rid of Tony's clothes, change my appearance, dope out some way to get clear of Riverdale. I had to find shelter and fast. The first house I came to was little and white, and the girl who answered the door was little and dark.
Yes?
Oh, could I talk to you for a minute?
Well, of course. Come in. You're from the prison.
Yeah.
It's funny, I thought I knew all the guards. Did Tony send you here?
Tony?
My husband.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I didn't know his first name. He sent me.
Well?
Well, you see, I just started working at Westgate, and my own clothes haven't come yet, so your husband said he'd lend me a suit. He was going to come with me, but they got a meeting or something, so he'll be late for dinner.
He's all right, isn't he?
Oh, sure.
Very well. I'll get you some of these clothes. You can go in the bedroom and change.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was strange that a mug like Tony should have so sweet a wife. Even stranger that I should have come home to a supper that he was waiting for. Because that's what she put on the table for me when I came out of the bedroom. Supper and a long, cold glass of beer.
I thought you might like a bite to eat.
I don't think there'll be time.
Don't worry. They won't look here.
What do you mean?
I recognize the uniform. Tony was wearing it this morning.
Oh, why, sure. He loaned me
that. No. You took it. Did you kill him?
No. Just knocked him out.
I see. Well, drink your beer. Enjoy it. You won't get any more if they catch you.
I wanted to kiss her goodbye, but she wasn't the type. So I hit the road again, feeling fairly safe. In about 20 minutes, I'd reached the head of the line of the Riversdale bus station and was buying a ticket for Chicago with a $20 bill I found in Tony's pocket.
Yes, sir. One way.
That's right. When's the next bus leave?
He's supposed to leave in 15 minutes.
Okay.
18, 19, 20. Here's your change and your ticket.
Thanks. Said 15 minutes?
Yes. Well, she might be a little late tonight. We've got to hold her till the guards come.
Guards?
Ain't you heard? Some convict broke out of Westgate. It just goes to show you, we always figured nobody could get away from that place. But you never can tell, can you?
Well, what does escape got to do with the bus?
Well, they got to check all the passengers before she takes off. It'll only take a few minutes. Well, you'll be able to leave on time, all right. This must be the guards now.
I looked up to see a bunch of hard uniformed faces pushing in through the swinging doors. I didn't wait to see anything else. I went out the back way, through the garages. When I hit the far side, I started to run.
Halt!
Someone yelled halt.
Stop! Halt!
But I picked my feet up higher and kept going. I was lucky. In a minute, I was out of range. Then I turned down a dark alley and tried to catch my breath. I waited until it seemed worth another chance before I headed toward the street again. But I'd waited too long. The alley was blocked by a police car, so I had to turn around and go back. But I couldn't. Behind me were the guards in the bus station. I was trapped. Then I saw the one last long chance. Halfway down the alley, a big truck pulled slowly away from a loading platform. There was a dark hollow underneath its canvas, a place where a man could hide. I started to run. Only I could grab the tailgate, jump inside. But the truck kept getting up more speed. My legs wouldn't carry me much farther. I jumped for it. My fingers slipped in the smooth metal. And then here, I pulled myself up by my hands and crawled behind some packing cases. The driver stepped on the gas and I started moving. I smiled. I'd done it after all. I'd accomplished the impossible. I'd escaped from Westgate Penitentiary.
You think the story is over, don't you? But wait. Fate takes a hand. Wait for the unexpected. Now for the surprising conclusion of Jailbreak, starring Steve Cochran, a Hamilton Whitney production written by Robert Libet and Frank Burt and directed by Frank K. Danzig.
Well, we rolled along for half an hour or so and I felt fine. I'd broken out of Westgate. Now I was never going to have to see it or Iron Bars or Tony again. Stopped and I worked my way around the packing cases and was just sticking my head out for a breath of free air when somebody grabbed me and slapped me across the face. Hard!
Nice to have you back, Slick. Very nice.
Tony! What are you...
You're a bad penny. You were bound to turn up. But I didn't figure you'd be dumb enough to climb into a truck that was delivering groceries to the prison.
To the prison?
Yeah, to the prison. Welcome home, Slick. Welcome back to Westgate.
Jailbreak starred Steve Cochran. Listen soon for another of your favorite motion picture stars in a drama of The Unexpected. This program was transcribed in Hollywood.
jailbreak from the unexpected.
Indeed. And I have no moral for this one, but I do have an epilogue on the unexpected, Dale.
Ooh.
Yeah, that wasn't the radio show wasn't the end of the road for the unexpected. It was picked up by the Frederick Ziv and his ZIV TV production for the unexpected concept, and it was ran from 1952 with Herbert Marshall as the guest, and appeared over at NBC on Wednesday nights and ran for 39 half-hour episodes.
Ah.
So there you go.
There you have it, gang. And we got a little surprise for you.
We do.
Do we?
Yeah.
Yes, we most certainly do. Yeah. Since yesterday was a total technological flop, and we hope and pray things are back in order, we have decided to replay yesterday's show Monday night. Yeah, we're going to reenact the whole thing. Hopefully Gar can join us. He's not feeling well today with a migraine. And no, he won't be doing horrible horror, sadly. So join our friends over at the Vortex. But next on Monday, we will replay the show that we did.
We didn't do, and we can't replay it. So we'll have to make it up from scratch all over again. We'll have a suspense story and a story with Frank Sinatra and the
Theater Five,
the three programs. So a lot of fun. They're all three a little bit short programs, so that way there'll be some extra time for some extra fun. So hopefully you'll be able to join us at 8 p.m. on Monday night for Erie House Radio as we recreate the lost program.
The lost program. So, yay! Join us Monday. Why not? Come on, you're not doing nothing on a Monday night.
That's right. Because Weirdness Really Bad isn't on the Vortex. It won't be on for 2 weeks when we'll have two more episodes of the Weirdness Really Bad movie show.
Yep.
Hosted by Holly and myself. And featuring not only some classic, we got a couple of Diver Dan episodes, but we've also got a couple of classic TV half-hour episodes of public domain television as well. So.
Yep. Hey, and you never know with some of our listeners here, like Fogsbane, for example. He had, what, as many as four streams going the other weekend?
He did. He was the amazing streamer, yes.
Indeed he is. But join us Monday night then at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, not 8:30. 8 o'clock.
Yep, and we need to thank everybody for being here tonight. After all last night's ridiculous difficulties, join us in here with CW and Fogsbane, and we had a couple other people jumping in and out as well. Flycatcher or something like that was there early on, and so it's interesting to find out. See who's there, and then, of course, all the rest, that like Linda Lou, who many times listened to it, and the GG Sci Papers, they also listened to many times in the archives. So,
If you can't make it Monday next week, we're taking on masks. So the controversy rages on.
Yeah. Not much controversy around here. People are wearing theirs.
Otherwise, see you Monday at 8. Save them up and drive home drinkly. Huh?
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Now let's see if that timer is going to be right or not. Wasn't that bad.
There it goes. Not too bad.
Wasn't that bad. Not too far off.
No. Yeah.
And it worked. It worked.
It worked, and everything seems to be working properly, and everybody got to hear. And your headset. You know what, Dale? I was thinking. I know that you're going in through the group, the Chrome. I use the Google. I call in through my computer to the show, and I use the Google Hangouts. through my computer to call the show and participate. So that is a feature of Chrome as well. So
nifty.
There you go.
Nifty. Well, everything was functional tonight. Amazing but true. I'd say thank you, Blog Talk, but you're long overdue. Why am I so rhyming today?
I don't know. And some days are just like that, Dale.
Well, I don't know. Residual from the 70s. What do I know? Could be that glass of wine early. A little red Moscato.
Ah, using that to prepare for whatever may happen tonight, huh?
Actually, yes. I needed to wind down because it was an interesting day. But I also got to we have a very dead pine tree in the back. Now, what's so creepy about that? Well, number one, it looks like the woodpecker has been jabbing away at the. There's a certain level where all the bark is off of this pine tree. It's a dead pine tree. I mean, it's got a couple tufts of needles at the top, and that's it. So it's perfect for what I needed it for. We did finally get our bat box and put our bat box on top of this pine because they don't like leafy trees. They like poles or to be up by houses. And I thought, well, now I don't want them in my attic.
although
that would be cool. How cool would that be to have bats swirling over your house at night?
No. Don't want them in my house. You know, they can do whatever they want outside.
Yeah.
You know, the squirrels are fine outside, not in my house. Raccoons are okay outside, not in my house. Birds, not in my house. You know, nope. Sorry. I don't go there.
Animals are always beating on our door or something, stealing our food or... it's crazy. So we love them, except when they steal my fruit. That gets me mad. Yeah. When they go after my pears and my peaches, it's on. But bats are good. They eat bugs.
They do. Yes, they are. They are.
I chased an exterminator off my porch. He comes by and he's dropping names in the neighborhood that he's done stuff for. And I'm like, no. And he's like, don't. You know, if we get rid of rats, I go, no, we don't have rats. Only the two-legged variety.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And he's naming all these bugs that they exterminate. And when he got the spiders, I said, stop right there. My spiders and my bats are doing your job significantly cheaper. Thank you, but no. And he was stunned. But it's true.
Yep.
And snakes and frogs are allowed in the yard. Snakes and frogs, too. They get rid of the creeps. Get rid of the ugly stuff. Do your job.
And they keep the neighbors out of your yard, too.
That and cigarettes. You better believe it, baby. I just realized it's smoking can sometimes be a fun way to be antisocial.
You know, I've never told you, but my old writing partner from college, when we wrote several of the stories, several short stories, one of them won an award and was published in Nom de Plume magazine. And a couple others, I took either the story or the concept and turned it into the half-hour radio drama. But he was, at least at the time, was a smoker. And we'd be up all night long at Country Kitchen. You know, we'd start like at sometimes at 11 o'clock at night. And we'd just be out there for sometimes – 2 or 3 hours in Country Kitchen with a cup of coffee, and the smell of the cigarettes always reminds me of sitting there at Country Kitchen with Mike writing. I've never smoked myself, and I really don't care for it, except but when I every once in a while when I smell it, goes, it must be time to write, you know.
Memory is triggered by smell, they say. There's a lot of memory associative to the sense of smell. True, very true in dogs, but why wouldn't it be true in humans to some degree? When someone makes that favorite meal and you smell that, it takes you back to when you first had it, you know? And the things maybe in your life that made you like that food, for example. I think.
Yeah, that's true. I think. One would think.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like adding "I think" or "usually" to things because there's always
it gives you a little bit of leeway.
Things.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. It gives you some leeway. Yes.
So when someone calls you out, well, I didn't say that exactly. It seems, perhaps, I believe. What a way to cheese out of commitment.
So true.
Yep. Well, we commit to bringing you good radio each and every week, as long as Blog Talk lets us. Or until we wisely replace them. Hopefully,
yeah,
not
except they do have a venue and the sounds that we can plug there and things like that. It is kind of hard to find an exact duplication for what we're doing there. But if something happens and it isn't there anymore because of whatever, sometimes
I know
things go out of fashion or whatever.
Yep.
And we'll find another venue to do this. That's all.
Yeah, if we have to. You know, very much. Well, you know how I fell apart kind of when I lost Livestream as far as running the TV channel.
Right.
I'm spoiled that format was just perfect. And similarly, Blog Talk is very well suited for what we do. I really like having the live chat, the ability to take live calls and to do the show live. I mean, you know, not too many people do live shows on blogs, at least in the genres that we're familiar with. Very few. Most of them are recorded blogs. And they're very good. None of the take away from them. I just like the aspect of the live thing. That's what drives me most of the time. Yesterday, maybe not so much.
That's because we weren't live. We were, but we weren't.
We weren't anything. It didn't happen.
But it will on Monday.
Yes, it will. Hopefully all three of us. You know, Godspeed and get well soon, brother. Gar.
And the sad thing is, you know, it's not often the professor calls in to the show. He listens to us a lot, but it isn't very often that he calls in. And I know he called in because he wanted to hear the shows, but he's always got so much to add to this. And we talked about the panel discussion we were in for a while as well, that all that's lost. So we'll see what we come up with for more fun on Monday.
Absolutely. You just never know what we're going to do. Could put a new wrinkle on it just to amuse ourselves. Who knows? But we'll be back on Monday.
Not that we don't have enough wrinkles already, but okay.
I prefer to think of them as folds.
You can think of it however you want, but they're wrinkles.
Don't look pretty. No matter what you do, it's not pretty. Aging.
Definitely, yeah, we're definitely made for radio. We are.
I have the face for it.
Radios. Yep, got them faces for radio.
That we do. Ugh. So thanks for listening tonight. I guess that kind of wraps things up a little early.
But that's okay. We'll be back in 2 days.
Count them.
Yeah. With more as we go back and have some more jailbreaks, hopefully successfully on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep. Right here.
And
try
that,
again.
I guess that's time to bring in the one and only Schnozola.
Mr. Durant.
Yep. Mr. Durant.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and ink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night. folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The opinions expressed on the Ghoul Show are not those of what the radio station WDMT.
I don't know. I get sponsors.
The sponsors.
I don't have any anyhow.
The staff and the management.
Well, management doesn't talk to me either.
Thank you.